Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
You think you know me?
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell. It is game day over here at the University of Tennessee. Not at the University of Tennessee. They're in Clemson with all the two-seaters, all the slump busters that raid Clemson, South Carolina. You know they are not missing many meals at Fats down there in Clemson, South Carolina. If you're catching a flight out of that area, don't. Take a rental car and go to Charlotte. Trust me, it's going to be a long drive to Charlotte, but it will be worth your sanity to do it. That was mean. I don't care. Anyway, Tennessee and Charlotte getting ready to start here momentarily. Tennessee wearing the black tops, white bottoms, black hats. Great combination. Talked about football uniforms yesterday. That's probably one of my favorite baseball uniforms. Between that and the tribute we did to the Astros, mm-hmm. back when we still had Adidas, those were great. But talk about what happened last night in the NBA Finals. You know, Max, when you were giving your max out your winnings, we had a question from one of our listeners, and he said, "Would you take Jokic at 25 plus?" And Jimmy at 20 plus. I said no. But what I would do is I would take Jokic at 25 plus and then take the under on Jimmy Butler's point total. He's like, why? I'm like, just trust me. I think Jokic actually went for like 26 or 27 and Jimmy Butler didn't even hit 20. So there you go. We know our basketball.
Yeah, I think all three of us pretty much agreed yesterday that was a pretty safe bet. Just for the sake of all eyes being on Butler, just for that in and of itself. So, I didn't even get to catch the game, man. I was so worn out. I just went right to sleep. I went golfing yesterday and the sun it baked me to a crisp. So, when I got home last night, I was down for the count, my man.
Oh, so what? You're Larry the Lobster now? You got them red arms and red legs and all of a sudden the middle part of your body's just pale?
I look like a blonde tomato. Just Golly. Running around. It's pretty rough. I mean, it doesn't burn or anything. I'm pretty lucky in that regard. You know, I'll burn maybe one time maximum a year, and then after that I turn into like a little graham cracker or something, man. I tan pretty well these days. I didn't used to, but yeah, the golf course is certainly the place to get some sun, man, while you're out there shooting a freaking 92, you know. It's not terrible. That's what I shot yesterday, but still, yeah, it's that sun was beating down on you, man.
Yeah, that's the one thing about me. I don't really burn. So I'll stay relatively dark through the winter months compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're just a dark guy anyway.
And then and then all of a sudden, the middle of May gets here. And the Melungeon, the Native American, it really, really shows.
I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Melungeon?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. My papaw used to swear up and down. He's like, I'm a Melungeon. I'm a Melungeon. I'm like, okay, papaw. You know, he was born in Hancock County.
And hey, there's a lot of them up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If there's a concentration of Melungeons in this region, they're definitely in Sneadville for sure.
They are there. They are in Claiborne County. They are in Campbell County.
Yeah, which is exactly where we're from, Claiborne, yeah. Campbell County. And then Granger County, I ended up moving on over into there, you know, in the latter part of my childhood. But that's where I say I'm from, is Granger County. But I did grow up in Claiborne County about the same amount of time. So really, I guess I'm from both of them.
There you have it. That is your interesting fact of the day. Let's go right to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Let's get Phil in here first. What do you say, Philly?
Mike's like Jack Snake.
Philly!
How you and the boys doing?
Pretty good. Just watching some baseball and...
Yeah, I got it on here, big screen. I got Drunk Tank and Post Joe in the house with me.
Oh, pretty boy.
Cool. Beer's flowing already.
How many beers? Mm.
I've had about five already in Tennessee. Well, I hate just the guy on first base. It's ridiculous.
Five beers. He's just enough to get the taste on his lips there, Miller.
So have we went away from the Biden beers yet? Like, you can't have Bud Light anymore. You can't have Miller Light anymore. You can't have Coors Light. All we've got left, Phil, is Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yingling.
We got Yingling.
Yingling Golden. Max.
Yeah, Phil.
That's pretty cool. Y'all talking about the Granger County tomato there. Pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, that might be his name. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, dude.
Skyler McBee, right?
Yeah, man. I grew up playing against him, and you know, I mean, he was right across the mountain over there in Rutledge. They thought they were so much better than us because they had their one stoplight. But you know, it is the Granger County tomato thing was pretty good, Phil. I'm gonna have to give you some props for that one, buddy.
Well, the best player ever come out there was A.W. Davis, and that's back when I was a kid. And he turned down Kentucky, went to Tennessee, and helped turn the UT program around Ray Mears.
Sure enough, man, the pride of Rutledge, Tennessee.
Exactly. What's on your agenda today, guys, besides watching the UT baseball?
Well, we got that. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. Talk a little bit about that. And
I don't think it's going to last too long, do you?
I don't think it is either. But, Phil, I saw a comedy skit today. I guess it was from what, Max? That looked like the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
And the guy told us back then, he said, you would end world hunger if the people that lived in the desert would move, instead of sending them food, send them U-Hauls, and move them out of the desert and move them to where the food is, and you would end world hunger.
Huh. Either that across the Rio Grande coming to the United States, you know what? About that.
Well, neither of those are going to happen.
Well, it's happening right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Unfortunately. But I'll talk a little bit about this nine-game schedule SEC in football. I can see why Tennessee wants an eight-game schedule. If you got Vanderbilt as your only year-to-year team and rotate everybody else, it is an advantage. But I prefer to have a nine-game conference schedule because I want to see some real football, not a bunch of them cupcakes out here to play.
I agree with that to a degree. Like, I like the idea, though, of, you know, that one permanent opponent being Vanderbilt. That way it's a guaranteed win. And then you get to see Auburn every other year, and you're going to Auburn every fourth year. So I do kind of like that. Now, where it's going to get tricky is where does the SEC want the money? Do they want to see it with Tennessee and Kentucky? Because you're going to pull more money with that than what you will with Tennessee and Vanderbilt. But I think they're going to give Kentucky to South Carolina.
Well, but you have to consider the Nashville metro area with Knoxville. I mean, that's a lot of damn population compared to what Kentucky's population is.
This is true, but I
think Tennessee's got what, about 8 million people, and what's Kentucky got, about 4 million?
I think somewhere around there. I think Tennessee's something like that. I could have swore it was like less than that for some reason.
And you don't even factor Memphis into it. I mean, outside of what you got in Kentucky, you got Louisville and Lexington. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, nobody ever talks about the capital of Kentucky. Oh!
Frankfort.
That's true. Frankfort. I mean, Bowling Green is fairly populated because of WKU. I guess Owensboro.
Just lost his bat.
Well, I really like us wearing black in a hot day. I don't understand why we're wearing black jerseys.
In the most humid part of the year.
If it's a night game, I'd be off for it.
Yeah.
Why do they think you're playing Kentucky in football? You know?
I guess so. Now, if we'd had the black pants, that would have completed the outfit, Phil.
Oh, good. This is not going too good right now, is it?
No, Phil, it ain't.
They lose this damn game. I mean, Post Joe probably start Rich Bruins would be ripping Tony Vitello. You know?
Oh my goodness, I hear him already.
We can't have a party line here, you know.
That is what it is, buddy.
Guys, one more thing. I see where Antonio Reeves at Kentucky's leaving. I mean, they're just going to have, five scholarship players? The recruiting class, true freshmen? They're not that damn good.
Yeah, that's something that I've been trying to kind of get under, into people's heads up here. I mean, now listen, I'm not trying to throw any sort of shade at any player coming into Kentucky at all, but you look at a lot of these guys that are coming in for this incoming class for Kentucky, they look like little boys. And I'm not just saying, yeah, whatever, judge a book by its cover, blah, 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 but they look so young, and so I'm afraid what's going to happen to those kids is it's going to be deer in the headlights kind of situation.
Yeah,
they're going to be going up against some of the veteran, some of the teams like Tennessee that are old, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, the only kid that's going to care is Reed Sheppard because he grew up a Kentucky fan. He's going to be there 3 to 4 years. I mean, he's the only one that's going to care.
Yeah, and he won't even start.
No.
No, I don't think he sees the floor a whole lot, to be honest with you. Now, I've covered that kid for, 4 years in person directly, he is a whale of a basketball player. Let that go to show you what it takes to play at the D1 level. I don't think he sees the floor a whole lot, but, man, this is probably the most vulnerable that Kentucky basketball has been in a long time.
What about, since you got ties up there in the big Bluegrass State, this Tyler Perry, this point guard for next year, how good is he?
So from, some of my colleagues up here in this region, I hear that he's really, really good. I hear that he's definitely D1 good, but I haven't had a chance to check him out myself yet. But if there's one thing I know for sure, my man, is that they take basketball super seriously up here. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know how many kids – that I covered up here this year that were 20 years old upon graduation because they were held back twice to play basketball.
Really?
Oh, we used to do that in Campbell County all the time.
It's crazy. Huh. I graduated high school at 17 years old, and here I am covering kids that graduated 20, and they've got two-year-old kids.
20 years old?
Telling you, it's strange, man.
Says a lot for Kentucky's education system, don't it?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, though. If you want to see some good – like hard-nosed basketball, go watch Corbin High School. They are dirty.
Yeah, they are dirty. Yeah, now that's
Corbin's got good coaching up there.
That they do.
In fact, I think there's a 6'7" underclassman up there in Corbin that's going to be a D1. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or you're the Kentucky guy.
Yes, I, that's where I work at is in Corbin. So when I'm not here on Fox Sports, I'm, with WKDP up there in Corbin. Corbin's going to be the real deal for sure.
Well, they just had Hayden Lou Allen. He's going to Maryville.
Yeah, he's heading to Maryville.
I hear Polish Joe getting mad at the ump.
What's so unfortunate is DeAndre Lindsey's leaving Catholic and going to Oak Hill Academy, and Rich Burns doesn't have a tournament chance of getting him.
No. No, not anymore.
Maybe he's the best player in the state of Tennessee as a sophomore.
Well, the thing is, like, that entire pipeline, Phil, as you know, like I feel like that entire pipeline is just ruined between Catholic High School and all the elite prospects in the region, and not to mention everything that comes out of the Bobby Mays Elite, the B-Mays Elite. That pipeline, I feel like at this point, is killed.
Yeah, it's over with, yeah. No more Bobby Mays. Rich Burns got to find him somewhere else to get ball players, you know?
Campbell County High School, I guess.
Well, Campbell County used to be good basketball back in the day.
What happened
to him?
You got a coach on the other side of the mountain up there in Jellicoe that does a fantastic job but doesn't want to deal with the hometown politics of Campbell County High School.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he does well up there. They leave him alone. He's happy there, and that's where he's going to retire.
I'll say one thing, though. I used to go to a lot of clubs around here in town, and I always meet these women from Camel County. They're some damn good-looking women. I mean, what the hell's going on up there?
I can't give that secret away, Phil.
See?
Appreciate you, Philly. Nothing like a call from the drunk tank, boys.
Love it, man. I love it.
Oh, man. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
12-pack of Busch Light, a can of Coke. Baby, that's all we need. Take it past the county line, start a big bonfire out where the cops won't see. Pass around the fifth, I'll take a sip, singing them old Hank songs. Couple games of beer pong, but on the chrome, ain't drinking no Dom Perignon.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, announced that Ja Morant is in more trouble. He is in more trouble over the last incident, and after the meeting, they have uncovered new evidence in regards to stuff that he has done. Inside sources down in Memphis have told me that it is, quote, bad, bad. Capital letters, all caps, bad, bad. So Max and I were talking during the break, and it's like, you know, when you have that level of success that he's had and the really good upbringing that he had, get to go to a private school, you're never having to worry about anything. You get to go to school, you go play ball, play AAU ball, you're a really good player. You don't really get looked at too much in high school. You end up at Murray State, get drafted second overall by the Memphis Grizzlies. And then you are looked at as potentially the next Allen Iverson. To I see him, at least. And then you go on Instagram Live again, your buddy's Instagram Live, with another gun. As Max said, it's like a track meet gun. Not a real one, but a track meet gun. What are you doing, man? Like, I really want to know how bad it actually is. I couldn't get any information as to what actually happened, but it's apparently bad, bad. And you wonder if the Memphis Grizzlies can find something in the contract to where it's like, okay, guess what? We don't have to pay you. We don't have to keep you under contract. This contract is void. Because you know there's that stipulation in Zion's contract. If he goes, I think it's over 300 pounds, the contract is void. I wonder if there's anything worked into that deal with Ja Morant.
If there is, I feel like it'd have to be amended after the fact, because obviously when he signed that deal, there was no, you know, questions or concerns about this kind of behavior.
When was the deal signed? Do we know?
2021? I'll look it up.
I think so.
Okay, so that would have been before the incident with the 17-year-old, the incident at Wolf Chase Mall at Finish Line. That would have been before the Instagram Live, both Instagram Lives. There's another one that I'm forgetting.
So there was a club, like a...
Oh, the laser pointing incident.
Yep.
A skin club, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was signed last summer in July, was when he signed his extension.
That was literally right before the incident with the 17-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah, right before it.
Yeah, what do y'all anticipate the length of this suspension?
It's going to be a year.
Yeah, it's going to be the entire season, I think.
I feel like the only precedent beforehand, obviously with David Stern as commissioner, but was Gilbert Arenas pointing a gun at a teammate, and he got a full season.
Well, you know, Adam Silver, he's made an example out of people before. Banning Donald Sterling for life, that was like one of the first things that he ever had to do as commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of pressure on him at the time. It's like, okay, I've got to make an example out of somebody. Yeah, it's going to be Donald Sterling.
They suspended that. They made the Suns owner sell as well for his comments. Yeah, and I feel like also because, you know, now he's a repeat offender that, you know, any good
we know five incidents he had
with the league office is gone now.
Yeah, because he straight up lied to Adam Silver for the first Instagram Live video at the strip club in Denver.
Miller, you just hit the point on the head, though, man. I mean, you just said we know of five incidents. I mean, Lord knows about the stuff that's not public. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, we know of five things.
And we all feel the exact same way. Literally, if you ask anyone about this, they're going to say the exact same thing. It's, hey, they have the world given to them, and they take advantage of it. Just go home, do what you're supposed to do. It's that easy. Everybody feels that way, and I don't understand why it's so hard. It would be different if he had been brought up, you know, differently. I mean, right. He wasn't. He was not. As much as people like to have their personas.
He's brought up better than you and I were.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. That's my point. And people and this culture, man, that we've talked about repeatedly just perpetuates this, I don't know, look at me, I'm a gangbanger. Like, I don't understand why anyone would want to appear that way. And if you listen to actual real, like, former gang members and things, they're always out here saying, hey, you don't want to be a part of this. You don't want to be a part of this. So it's time for role models, people that are looked up to by these young men and women across the country for their entertainment value, for their athletic ability, to finally be role models. It seemed like every athlete back in the day used to be a role model. Now we have few, very few.
Do you feel like if he got drafted to, say, I don't know, Sacramento, Portland, Milwaukee, that he has this issue?
No, he would have been fine yes, I do, because he would have fell right in line with those same people there.
It would really depend. Like, for instance, Milwaukee. I don't think Giannis would have allowed that to happen, you know, up in there. I don't think it depends on the veteran leadership on the team. Who did the Grizzlies have outside of Morant?
Who? What's his name? Steven Adams. He's the oldest player on the team, and he's like, what, 29 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And have you ever seen him really be like the leader type? Or
no.
Was he always kind of – even with – I think it was with OKC. Was he ever really the leader when he was playing
it was
them?
Russell Westbrook.
Exactly.
These guys like that.
And Morant was kind of thrust into the this is your team role. So he took on the leadership role. I think he was trying to get that team to fit his dynamic more than the other way around. And, you know, I realize that's your home team. That's the whole nine yards and everything. You know, we always hear these athletes talk about how they're trying to make their parents proud and this and that. They just want to set their parents up for life. That young
play basketball.
Has went above and beyond to make sure he had every opportunity to get to where he's at. Every opportunity. And honestly, I would say this would be a bigger letdown to his parents than him, you know, being not in the NBA or something like that. You know, this is – you've got to represent where you're from. You got to represent your family better than the way he has been. He's a role model. Kids look up to him a lot.
I don't know
how many times a week I hear the name Ja Morant.
It's like, you know, Allen Iverson when we were growing up.
Exactly the same thing, man. I love that comparison, by the way. But, I mean, you've got this golden opportunity to make the world, literally make the world a better place by setting a proper example. It's really not that hard to do, especially when you've been given every method to do it.
Well, I'm going to break down every incident that we have. Okay, there was the incident with a 17-year-old at a pickup basketball game at his house. Number one, you're in the NBA. Your guys are there as well. Your friends are there. Why do you need to pull a gun on a 17-year-old? Why? If you can't handle business with your fist, if it gets to that point, then I don't know what to say about you. The next incident was the incident at Wolf Chase Mall when his mom got into it with a Finish Line manager. I'm sorry. What is your name? Your name is Ja Morant. You have a deal with Nike. You have a deal with Powerade. You have all of these endorsements. Why is your mother going to a Finish Line?
You make a good point.
Being serious. If I had a deal with Nike or On Running or Adidas or Under Armour or whoever, nobody would be going to the mall. No, they would just call me directly and say, hey, I need this. Okay, let me spend part of my $50,000 credit that I have with said brand, and I'll order you something. Because that's, like, even, like, the puniest of baseball players, Matt Antonelli, who got drafted in the first round and only played, like, 5 or 6 games in the majors, signed a deal with Nike. They gave him, I think, $5,000 or $10,000 a year to just spend. It's like you get a $10,000 credit at Nike. And what would he do? He'd buy golf clubs at Christmas. He'd buy polos, shoes, whatever he needed to do, that's how he paid for Christmas for everybody. And if you're John Morant, you know you're getting more than $10,000.
I'm getting some shades of you yesterday right now. You're starting to get borderline worked up. Yesterday had me rolling, man. You're bordering on that right now.
I mean, that's just like if I were to get into a fight at a pizza bar. You know, if I've got an endorsement deal through Domino's or one of my favorite local joints, do you think I'm ever going to put myself in a position where I am throwing fists at a bar over pepperoni pizza? No. I'm ordering Domino's. I'm going to the house.
Well, you maybe, but a normal person maybe not.
You got a point. But the bottom line is, his mom should have never been put in that situation to begin with. Number two, why are you going to Wolf Chase? Why are you going there, of all places? Y'all live in Eads. The Collierville and Germantown Shopping Center is right there. Very nice place. I've been there multiple times. Why aren't you just going there? And then we have the laser pointing incident with the Indiana Pacers. Like, what are you doing? Not only are you going to get in trouble for that, guess what? All your guys are going to get in trouble for that. Guess what? They can only take the fall for you so much.
Exactly.
And then you go into a Denver strip club with a handgun, a little baby gun. I don't know if he's afraid of the real ones or not, but that was just stupid. And then the security footage, bless his heart, I would have been embarrassed.
Even more embarrassing, did you hear what we'll call them the employees of that establishment? You heard what they said too, right? That he is immature. Yeah. He's a boy.
Yeah. And then you're caught again on your buddy's Instagram Live after you just made a promise to Adam Silver. It's like, okay, we've given you every chance in the world here. Promise me you will not do this again. Yes, sir. We're not even 2 months removed from that. Matter of fact, I don't even know if we were a month removed from it. And all of a sudden, here it is again. It's like, dude, y'all just got bounced by the Lakers in the NBA playoffs. If that's me, I'm not thinking about doing anything with my guys. My friends, I'd call them up and be like, listen, guys, we just got put out. I should still be playing basketball. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to work on my game. I'm going to do everything that I can to better my game. Instead, waving around my little track gun in the front seat of an SUV.
I think what's really unfortunate about it, too, is the Memphis Grizzlies are maybe, if not the smallest, one of the smallest markets in the NBA.
It's them, New Orleans.
Sacramento, probably.
Phoenix is technically a small market team.
And they have a superstar for the first time, really. You know, I mean, those grit and grind teams, they had guys that were well-known, but not like Ja Morant.
And they were loved. Keep that in mind. Those guys were loved. Guys around Memphis, they love Mike Conley. They love Zach Randolph.
Oh, yeah.
They love Mike Miller. They love those guys. Everyone down there, you talk to them, oh, Mike Miller is such a great guy. Mike Conley, miss that guy. Zach Randolph, what a great dude he was.
And this is the first time they've had, I feel like, in my lifetime at least, a superstar where everyone, like y'all are saying,
that's not
like
washed
Allen Iverson,
up.
Exactly, that everybody knows. And it just feels like, you know, you feel bad for the other guys in that team, that whole organization, because he's kind of tainting the image, and they've waited so long to get to this position, and now it's like, what are the Grizzlies known for? Ja Morant and all of his miscues, mishaps, etc.
Yeah, forget the fact that Jaren Jackson,
Defense Player of the Year.
Desmond Bane, what a great pick that was.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones, the best backup point guard in the NBA. And then you have guys like Brandon Clark, great off the bench. You know, Dylan Brooks, you're finally getting rid of him, not bringing him back. And now, you just got a problem. That's all this is in Memphis, is just one major problem. If Davis and Matthew were still here, they probably wouldn't even talk on this issue. Because they're so mad about it. They're so upset with what's going on within that franchise. It's like, what are we doing here?
If I'm Memphis, I'm going after a proven leader who's been in the league for a long time. Somebody like an Al Horford type to come in and just kind of, I don't know, to kind of just lead. Not even really to play, to score, to play defense, anything. I'm bringing in some mentor types for this Memphis team if I'm ownership.
There's a website, and I want to go to it in the next segment. Max, we're going to do your segment as well coming up. Really like those picks last night, by the way. But we're going to find the trade machine.
Yes. I've got one in my head right now.
The one that you can incorporate picks with. Because Jordan Moore, one of our good friends, he actually sent me one that would benefit the Miami Heat. You send Lowry, Tyler Hero, and two first-round picks to Portland for Damian Lillard.
I was thinking Ja Morant for Damian Lillard.
That's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
What could you get for Ja Morant?
Mm.
But thing is, there's also a caveat to that. Who wants to deal with that?
His stock's the lowest probably it's ever been. Yeah, and maybe will ever be. So,
and it's still pretty high, too. So you got to look at it like that, too. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of baggage, but we've seen NBA players with baggage before that have turned out to be just fine. I mean, he's still young into his career. I'm not trying to make excuses by any means because I 1,000,000,000%, Miller, you know how I am about this, man. Don't you know, waste these opportunities you've been given. But there's still hope for the young man to turn it around and do everything the proper way.
Dude, you and I grew up watching guys like Ron Artest and Andrew Bynum.
Exactly.
Latrell Sprewell was another one.
Yeah.
That used to get in a lot
choke
of trouble.
Coach.
Yeah.
The one name though that just needs to be. I mean, it has to be Ron Artest. That will never ever. I mean, there. I don't think there will ever be anybody like Ron Artest again.
That's not Meta World Peace. That's Ron Artest.
Going into the stands. That seems like it was so long ago, man.
I was
it does.
At a game where a player went in the stands.
Really?
Yeah.
Which
was,
one?
Independent League Baseball.
It was
Dollar Beer Night, and, you know, dollar beers. By the seventh inning, people have had – it was the worst part was a 9-8 game. So
yeah.
It cuts off in the seventh inning stretch. So at that point, 9-8 game, you're 3 hours in. People have had 12 to 15 beers. Saying things to the opposing team. Guy dumped a beer on a player, and their whole, like, five or six guys came in the crowd, just started swinging on people. I ran towards the fire, though.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. Yeah.
We're proud of you for that. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Break up. I see your taillights in the dust.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. It's time to max out your winnings. Max, head over to FanDuel and tell us what the five best bets are for this weekend.
All right. We're trying to do better than we did last night. Just baseball tonight. That's all that's going on.
Okay.
Start us off, we got the White Sox, -1.5, +125. Mike Clevinger pitching for the White Sox at home.
Let me get logged in real quick. You said the White Sox take them on the spread, correct?
Yes, versus Reese Olson making his major league debut for Detroit. Also like the Padres, team total over 4.5 tonight. They play at 9:40 versus the Cubs. I know you're a Cubs guy, Miller, but
yep.
Jameson Taillon has been brutal. Start the year.
Yeah.
8.04 ERA, 31 innings pitched. I think the Padres, that lineup, I know they scored 10 runs their last time out on Wednesday.
Right.
Or yesterday, actually. So, like them over 4.5. Braves, Diamondbacks, under 9 runs. Charlie Morton versus Merrill Kelly. Two good pitchers there, especially Merrill Kelly. I like that total to stay under. Both those pitchers should perform well.
Yep.
Then two parlays here. First off, we got Oregon State baseball and TCU baseball, both to win, +155. Oregon State's playing Sam Houston, and TCU plays Arizona, who, frankly, I don't think Arizona belongs in this tournament. A lot of people, you know, on Twitter agree with that as well. People felt like they were probably the fifth or sixth best team in that conference. Meanwhile, TCU won the Big 12 tournament. So they're hot. Arizona just kind of happy to be there. Like TCU, and then the other parlay, Adam Frazier of the Orioles and Casey Schmidt of the Giants, both to record hits tonight, -108 there. Adam Frazier, great numbers versus Logan Webb of the Giants, and Casey Schmidt, rookie, has just been hitting the cover off the ball for the Giants.
So I'm going to take and make a parlay out of what you just said. So this parlay, it's a five leg at +2117, Oklahoma State to win.
Oregon State.
Took Oklahoma State, though.
Okay.
Yeah. White Sox, -1.5.
Mm-hmm.
TCU, money line, Padres, -1.5. And under 9 for the Braves and the Diamondbacks.
Let's hope we're successful.
If it is, I'm buying you crystals. So,
all right.
That's how this works. When we win, we eat.
Yes, sir.
And right now, we're going back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Polish Joe is next. What do you say, Polly?
Rose Toto.
Keep throwing them.
Keep throwing them.
What's up, buddy?
How are you doing? Happy Friday.
I'm hungry.
You guys hear the news? The Bruins got another $500,000 raise because it didn't rain before 3 o'clock.
So what's his raise going to be for tomorrow?
What do you mean tomorrow? I mean, before 9, he's going to get another 50 G's.
What for?
Because it didn't rain.
So every hour that it doesn't rain, he gets a raise, is what you're saying.
You know it. Rose petals, man. Rose petals.
What, are we just sending a plane over Thompson Bowling and just dumping them all over the arena?
No, only to his house.
Oh, you can do that with a chopper.
So, guys, you're talking about gambling. I got -2 in the balls in the run line, so let's get it done.
Well, you're looking good right now.
So far, so good. So, I was trying to think, Jake, of, you know, I own a carpet cleaning business.
Right.
And what would you say is the dirtiest country in the world?
Oh, man.
Mexico.
Well, actually, as odd as this is, one of the worst floors that I've ever seen actually came out of one of the restrooms over in Maryville.
I don't name names. My point being...
Oh, it was so bad that for as bad as I had to go, the only other gas station was 5 miles down the road. I drove the 5 miles.
My point being is if I'm recruiting a professional in the cleaning business, I wouldn't go there, which I compare to Harvard, SC Upstate, Indiana State. We can't look for basketball players in these arenas, Jake. Do we want to win or do we? There's a reason. I think this is the worst thing that could happen with Bruins because, one, you can't recruit on the golf course, okay? You don't find 6'10 athletes, big men, on the golf course. And then once it's a legal transfer portal, he really don't have to leave the golf course. He just takes this trash that we could have had 3 years ago. How are we going to win? How are we going to win?
Don't forget Sacred Heart. You forgot about E.J. Anasicki.
I mean, who are we going to lose to next year? Stony Brook?
Stony Brook, what's another good one up there in the Northeast, Max? There's UPenn.
Yeah, Colgate.
Colgate. Cornell.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone talks about the great defense.
Binghamton.
We don't play these great recruits because they don't play defense. Well, guess what happened FAU second half? The biggest game of the year. We give up 40 points that second half. How great is the defense there?
Wasn't good at all, was it?
You have to score to win.
And not to mention, Jonas Adu was the only one that could throw the ball in the ocean in that second half.
We're going to Euros for running hook shots the first half.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad he's gone. Did he hang up?
Yeah, he's gone.
Well, that might be a good thing. It might be a good thing. Love you, Polly. Appreciate the phone call. Tennessee up 3-0. In the bottom of the second right now.
Yeah, let's go, boys.
Oh, man. What do y'all think about the font that we see right there, but on a basketball jersey? And I'm not talking about those god-awful smoky grays that Nike tried to push out to us.
I don't hate the font at all. I think I like these dark uniforms at baseball. I really like those creams, too. We didn't talk about those earlier. I don't think – I love the cream jerseys, man.
Wait a minute. Didn't we use these on the original smoky gray basketball jerseys?
Did we?
Yeah.
I think we
orange.
Did.
Yeah, the lettering was orange.
Yeah. Looked really good, actually. Just the numbers. Fix the 7. Fix the 4. Fix the 1. And it looks a lot better.
I really like the black hats with these. I mean, obviously they wear them with these jerseys, but
right.
The black hats are I almost like better than the actual jersey.
Yep, same.
It's weird how, like, one piece can just make an entire uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Or one stripe can ruin a uniform.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Y'all had to bring up those 2002 uniforms again. Y'all didn't like the yoke.
No.
You didn't like it at all?
Hated it.
See, I like the yoke. John, you're not a yoke guy, are you?
No.
Oh, man. You know, it's really hard to do a radio show and then pay attention to the game at the same time. Have you ever tried to do that? Because, you know, we can't give the play-by-play.
No. Yep.
Because
of copyright. It's hard not to be like, hey, this is what just happened right there. But it's, you know, it's something we've kind of perfected over the past couple of years, I feel like.
Yeah, and, you know, you think I got animated last night. The most animated I've ever been on this show was the first college football playoff rankings that got announced last fall.
Yeah.
I came on, like, what? 5-10 minutes after that, you were still wound up.
Yes. Was that the most animated you've ever seen me?
Man, I'm telling you, as far as voices go, yesterday was pretty close.
Buddy,
you got up to-
Buddy, my voice cracked. And, of course, I've been, you know, battling this cough all week. My throat's been itching all week. And I think it finally just cracked yesterday because I was like, man, I really need some chicken noodle soup after this.
I really hope everybody that listens checked that out on Twitter yesterday, man. That was fantastic.
If it's good enough to get CG's attention, you did something.
Oh, my gosh. I was
in didn't say you did something
here.
Right. You just did something.
Move the needle.
Yes, you moved the needle. Oh, man. Tennessee taking a 4-0 lead in the bottom of the second. Man, what a... Smash.
You know, we didn't really get to talk about it yesterday, man, but how about Tennessee football recruiting right now? They are really hammering it out right now.
Well, you land one, you're going to land two, and then you might just explode.
Domino effect.
And play, like, good players want to play with good players, man. They're about four. I'm really, really good about with Tennessee. Boo Carter, Cam Fountain, Matthews, and then Wingo as well. I mean, then you got names like Ross that are floating around us. I mean, it's insane, man, the level that they're recruiting at right now. They're right on par with Georgia and Alabama. If they can lock this stuff down, and there's nobody in the country recruiting the edge better than Tennessee right now.
So while we're on the topic again of uniforms, can Charlotte teams please, I know that it's the designation for the airport, can we please stop putting just CLT on the front of these uniforms, for the love of God.
Dude, I swear when I saw that the first time this morning, I didn't
think. It's the first thing you think of.
Intrusive thoughts.
Have you ever seen Jay and Silent Bob strike back?
Oh, it would say Niners on the side of the jersey, too.
Oh, my gosh, man. The way that they so if you've ever seen Jay and Silent Bob, they use a certain acronym that's very similar to that. I wish I could remember what it was, like the Coalition for the Liberation. Something, you know, just crazy, dude.
Just make it stop. Just make it stop. There's so many more ways that you can be creative with that.
How do they not notice that, you know?
Somebody probably does, but it's just done that way.
Their catcher
it's
also,
good for a lap.
Their catcher also has camo gear, which does not make sense.
Oh boy.
They're the 49ers, and it's the University of Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte's very Charlotte's a big – yeah, it's a military industrial complex there, apparently.
Yeah.
There.
West Point of the South.
That's
Fort
gold.
Bragg. I spent too much time there. I only spent 4 months there. That was way too much time.
Ever go to Camp Lejeune?
What's that?
You ever go to Camp Lejeune?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
guy did. Oh, man. You know what? I'm just thinking about all the other things they could do. They could use that same font, but actually spell out Charlotte. It would look fantastic.
Or like a script.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Charlotte across yeah. the chest. I'm a sucker for script across baseball uniforms.
Well, you remember the classic Chicago Bulls away yeah. jerseys that had the script yeah. like going up at an angle? That would look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trademark to it. The White Sox are doing it now.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the Hornets did it at one point. Did they not?
They might have. I mean, I can't keep up with NBA jerseys. They wear 10 or 12 combinations a year now.
Yeah. Dunn, what's your favorite NBA jersey of all time?
Oh, man. I'm a big fan of the 08, around the 08 to 10 Celtics jerseys, man. You know, being a Celtics guy, especially being, you know, into the NBA a lot back then, I was happy to see them win in those uniforms, and they just looked very presentable, very clean, very traditional. You know, when you think of the NBA, you think of two programs, or two, I guess, franchises, excuse me, mm-hmm. One being Boston, one being Los Angeles. And I like that they hold true to tradition with their uniforms. I mean, there's been very minimal change throughout history. You know, you've got some alternates here and there, but
yeah.
for the most part, the Celtics have really just held true to their foundations and their tradition. And I really like their jerseys. I think they're just simple and clean. I like that. I like a simple, clean, just crisp uniform. And the older I get, the more partial I get to green. Like, I really like green, man. I'm starting to like it a lot more. I've always been a red, orange type guy, but I like I'm starting to like green more as I get older.
About you, Max?
I would say I really like the – I mean, I'm similar to you, Dunn, where I like the traditional stuff. I think – I mean, this might be a popular answer. The 90s Jazz uniforms – I love.
Those are clean.
I also like the new, or maybe they're a throwback, but the Hawks red ones with the yellow trim
yeah.
and the white and yellow lettering. I like those a lot as well.
So one of my favorite ones out of the past few years has been the Philadelphia 76ers when they do the cream jerseys.
Yeah.
I love those. And the Memphis Grizzlies uniforms, when they first went to Memphis, when it was black, pink, and green, I don't know what it was about those, but I thought those just looked really good. For what they were trying to do. You know, you get away from the Vancouver branding, and then they go to the two-tone blue, which is kind of a Tennessee thing now with the Titans and now Memphis. Go back to the pink and green. I think it looked a lot better. That's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Finally, the drive is coming.